Welcome to Startup Nation Voices, a podcast of Startup Nation Mentorship and the World Jewish Congress. Startup Nation Mentorship pairs extraordinary college student leaders with top Israeli industry and government mentors. We currently operate on 20 campuses in 6 continents and enable students to develop meaningful, lasting relationships with Israelis who are in the center of the dynamic global economy and hub of innovation. In Voices, we bring on top Israeli and international leaders to share a deeper look into their industry and personal background, exploring the importance of mentorship and partnership with Israel.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ilan Arnowitz, and I'm the Director of Mentor Relations for Startup Nation Mentorship. I'm joined today with Yoav Degani, a serial entrepreneur with an exit to Verizon, a mentor to over 500 startups at incubators such as Google, the 8200 IDF unit, and Tel Aviv University Entrepreneurship Center. He's even been a CEO 4 different times. Yoav, it's such a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. There's a lot to unpack with your background, considering how well-versed it is. But I just want to start by learning a little bit more about you. So in particular, can you tell us about your background and why did you become so interested in entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so I guess I'm not sure at some point I was interested in entrepreneurship. I think it's something, it's part of me, it's part of my DNA. I think I was born that way. I always tell people it's not that it's better to, to become an entrepreneur versus the alternatives. I think it's just a matter of what, type of person you are. Since I remember myself, at the age of 21, I finished my service in the army, which is mandatory in Israel. And then I started my first business without knowing anything about entrepreneurship, business. It was a production, event production company. I was just, jumping on the first opportunity I found with another a friend. It worked really well. Then I started doing some more things. At some point, I was helping small businesses with management and marketing services, keeping them doing what they do best, but taking care of all the rest, mainly the business part. Then I was dealing with real estate. So I did, a lot of stuff. And eventually I found myself, I'm not sure, maybe 13 or 14 years ago, joining the high-tech field through a family software company. At first, I wasn't that interested to join. They were sitting on my neck, trying from time to time, you should join, you did this and that, I think you should move on and get involved in the family business and everything. And like every good boy, I said no over and over again until one day it changed. I'm not sure what happened, but I said, okay, why not? And then, I had, the chance and the opportunity to learn a lot how things are working from a person who didn't know anything about networking. I became like a very, very active networker, flying all over the world, meeting top executives, and it became one of my biggest skills. So from 0 to 100. So then after some time in the company, which I learned a lot, and also I managed at some point, I left to start my first startup, which I have a lot of things to tell about it, but eventually I left it. Although I invested my own money in this company. Then I started Anyways, my previous company, which, as you mentioned, we sold to Verizon about, I don't know, 5 and something years ago, which we also have like a crazy, crazy story on this journey of Anyways, especially the last year was like, people say startups are a roller coaster. That was like, you know, the most frightening and crazy a roller coaster ever. And then during the time of you know the last year, I started mentorship, as you mentioned, in Google Campus and some other accelerators. It grew on me. It's something I never planned to do. I didn't think, you know, I can provide too much of a value, you know, besides tip here and there, but it wasn't the case. I kind of felt that I'm doing something which is super valuable, sometimes even saving companies and entrepreneurs from, you know, to avoid pains I already, you know, had and paid so much money on mistakes that I can save people from doing the same. In the last 4 years, besides mentoring and advising to companies, I'm also the CEO of a company called My Privacy, which is another crazy story. So I was brought by the board. The company was called My Permissions in the past, but I took over and kind of rebuilt everything from scratch, completely different team, completely different product. Everything is you know, different, brought in my people, my DNA, everything. So I'm doing lots of stuff. I'm you know, very, very happy and grateful for the opportunity to be around so many, you know, talented people and interesting entrepreneurs. Yeah, that's it. I also invest in some things, but not in startups.
So it's interesting to me that your first company was an event production company. When I was younger, I actually founded a DJ company. And I think for me, that's kind of set the stage for my interest in entrepreneurship. But I'm curious for you, how did that first company kind of set the stage for the rest of your career? Maybe what you learned or the skills that carried you forward or something about that experience that sparked an interest.
Yeah, I think the one thing that comes to my mind is that from knowing nothing pretty much about how to run a business, how to manage people, all of a sudden I had to do it. The company grew and we, at you know, some points we had like, you know, dozens of employees. We had very, very good times when we, you know, made big money for 21 years old, you know, kids, and we had like bad times that we lost lots of money and we had to deal with it. And with, you know, people are waiting for their salaries or for their payment or whatever. So lots of pressure for, you know, at such a young age. So I think that I've learned the basics of a business, how to run a business, how to save maybe, or to be more calculated or, you know, to see, to anticipate, you know, that there are going to be more challenging times, how to manage people, how to, you know, create people, believe in what you do and work for you, not only for money, but because, you know, they believe you're doing the right thing because you are helping them to grow. It wasn't, you know, perfect back then, but I think as for the basics, that's where I learned it. And by the way, like the hard way, I didn't have any coach, mentor, advisor. I jumped into the deep water and tried to learn to swim, you know. And sometimes it was painful, but that's how I learned things.
Right. Right. So it sounds like you were really forced to learn on the job and you liked it. And so that's what kind of led you to kind of seek more of that thrill, as you described the roller coaster, the ups and downs, but the totality of it all was what attracted you to entrepreneurship.
Yeah, once again, I think to become an entrepreneur, it's like you have to be irrational, because if you think rationally about things, you should go work somewhere, develop yourself, earn your salary, go home when, you know, the day is over, leave your job at the office, have, you know, some quality time with your whatever partner or friends or family. And I think that in order to live so many years in like ongoing pressure, going to sleep with your work, it never leaves you, right? You go to bed and you have like thousands of thoughts about what to do, what happened, like challenges, opportunities. It never stops. So I think that if you look rationally about things, you shouldn't do it. But if you do it anyway, it means you're a real entrepreneur and that's where you belong, you know, with all the difficulty and challenges that comes with it.
Very well said. Very well said. It sounds like in order to be a successful entrepreneur, there just has to be a deep and innate drive and fire within you, where if you don't do entrepreneurship, then you can't sleep, right? If you do it, then you can't sleep, but you'd rather not be able to sleep because you are being an entrepreneur than if you're not.
Yeah, because so many people are coming to meet me. So I meet like a wide range of you know, people and everyone got, you know, ideas and everyone wants to, you know, be at some point entrepreneurs. But I guess that most of them, A, don't really understand what it means. Second, the difference between people who have ideas to entrepreneurs is that, you know, the entrepreneurs, they just do it. They don't overthink it. They don't think what will be, you know, the pros and cons. They just wake up, do whatever it takes and try. At least they try. And people come to me and say, I want to become an entrepreneur. I don't have an idea yet because I don't want to work for someone. I want to be, you know, independent or whatever, which is nonsense because you always work for someone, right? For investors, for your customers. You always have to deal with someone who is expecting something from you. And in, you know, many times or in most cases, you work much harder as an entrepreneur, even if you feel that it's your company or you're independent or whatever. So that's not, in my opinion, the reason to start anything. The reason is that you feel this, you know, thing inside of you, and you feel that you can't move on without, you know, executing whatever you would like to do.
I really like that perspective. I really like that. And I think, as you mentioned before, throughout your career, you've just been exposed to so many different startups. And so I'm curious to learn, there's a lot of focus on the successes, right? That's what you read about. That's what you hear about all the time. But what have you learned from the failures that you've seen from over the 500 startups that you've interacted with?
Yeah, how much time we have? I mean, I've learned, I guess, much more from my failures. So I've been lucky to sell a company, but all, you know, the way there was, you know, full of, you know, failures, small and big, but things that I've learned, you know, important lessons, I wouldn't ever learn any other way. So I think there are several things that I see, you know, I saw in my journey, and I see others doing the same. I think that, I don't know. So there are really so many things. I think that if I should focus on something is for example, partners, right? Co-founders. I think it's the number one reason why startups fail or close, because many times people, you know, don't get along. there are so many challenges pretty much on a daily basis when you start a business in a startup specifically. And you need to know who are the people, you know, around you, if they can handle those tough situations, if you see eye to eye with them. People sometimes get married before they even date for a while. And I always say, date for a month or two, walk together, go through some challenge to see how others, you know, react and how they manage those situations. Because I've been in my first startup, I left it, as I mentioned earlier, because of a partner. I didn't like his attitude. It wasn't like that, you know, since the beginning. It was starting to happen whenever we had our maybe first challenge or big pressure. So we got accepted to some accelerator and they were expecting us to you know, do several things. And he got nervous and something came out of him that I couldn't stand. I'm like a peace kind of person. I can't stand arguments and things like that. So eventually I one day took my stuff, went home and never came back, which is another kind of irrational thing to do. But that's me. I don't say that should be the case, but I knew that next time I would have checked, you know, 100 times before I get married with another partner. And that was the case. Like with Anyways, the company I started later on, I was looking for a co-founder for more than 5 months. I've met, I don't know, almost 100 potential co-founders. And it's really a dating. So you come with your, you know, checklist. And some fields on paper, you know, they have everything it needs, but something doesn't feel right, you know. And the opposite, people that look friendly and you think that you may get well with them or whatever, but they miss some skills or so. And then I found my two co-founders eventually, and it was love at first sight, you know, immediately. We met first time for a lunch. We started walking the same evening and we had like an amazing and crazy journey together. So I think you should invest more time and efforts in you know, how to find a good partner, what it takes from the people, you know, you want to go to this crazy journey with them. And I think that also many people come and don't even know how to look for a partner. Most of the time I find that people miss like a CTO, co-founder, whatever. Let people know what you do. Go to Facebook, go to whatever, LinkedIn, write to anyone who can, you know, connect you to someone, even if you are not sure. Write in one sentence, hey, I'm starting a new business. This is what I do. I'm looking for a technical co-founder. If you know anyone that knows anyone, let me know. Spread the word, see what happens. I guess that people will refer you to many potential co-founders. You just have to let people know that, you know, you're looking for it. So I have many more lessons learned from failures, but I think that's one point that I see, you know, pretty much on a daily basis. So
I really like the dating analogy, because I think you hear it a lot, but it's so true, right? And I think it's especially important to know that you don't understand someone's true colors until there's times of stress, until their true colors are forced to come out. Because when things are good, it's easy to put on a mask and be the person you want to be in an ideal situation. But it's not until you have bad times that someone's colors come out. So I really like that analogy. I think it's very important for founders to remember that at the end of the day, people are all that matter.
And you're going to see these people much more than anyone else in your life.
Right, right, right. So continuing with this trend of just the insight that you've gained from interacting with so many startups, I'm sure you've developed pattern recognition about emerging tech trends and where companies you see are heading. What trends are you excited about? As an investor myself, where do you think I should be focusing my time on right now?
So to be honest, I hate trends for many reasons, but when it comes to startups, I think that's not the right question. So as we just started to speak about partners and people, I think that's the most important thing. Who are you? Who are the group of people who are trying to solve something? And I think, you know, I meet so many people coming to me and say, hey, we had this idea. We ran into some problem we want to solve. Okay, maybe it's a big problem. Maybe it's a problem worth solving. But who said you are the right person to do it? Not because you are not smart, not because you are not good, because you have nothing, no advantage. And if you know, I don't know, some bigger company with more resources will tackle the same problem, they will probably kill you. So I always ask people, why you? This is the most important question when you go and think, even before you have an idea that you want to launch something, you want to start something, ask yourself, why me? What can I bring to the table that others can't? So it can be like, I don't know, a very unique, special technology. Like many times in Israel, people, you know, take technologies they dealt with in the army, bring it, you know, to outside the army to the real world. And then they have this competitive advantage because they dealt with it for years. Not many people know about those, you know, things and technology. They will have a competitive advantage. I don't know, you are working in this industry for years behind the scenes and you have those important insights and you always be ahead of anyone else. Or because you are working in this industry for so many years, you have such a big network, so you can open the door pretty easily to any customer, potential customer. And then if you're in, no one will, you know, replace you with a copycat. So you have to think, who am I? Like, even draw circles. I don't know where I was born, where is my network, where I studied, where I worked, what are my skills? It either you yourself or your co-founders or whatever. Once you have at least one thing that you can say, here's a competitive advantage, this is where we should start from. And I think that most of the people, most of the startups are not even thinking that way. I think that if you are doing something that is related to you, that is coming from your expertise, connections, whatever, your chances to succeed are 10 times or more better than working on something super trendy that you have, you know, nothing to contribute, versus, I would say, any other person who is tackling the same problem.
Interesting. So you're saying instead of starting with macro trends and confining yourself to try to solve those problems, you're saying, forget about the trends. Let me look at myself first and explore how my unique value proposition can create value.
Exactly. And by the way, during the road, you can add some, you know, machine learning and AI are super trendy now. And maybe for a reason, because this is the future and everything. So you can add more deep technology to what you're doing. But that's not why you should start a business or a company. You should first ask yourself, what I have to bring to the table in order to make something better and the opportunity to succeed and become the number one rather being, you know, another player or another company in the statistic that will probably fail.
Yoav, I could pick your brain all day, but I'm going to be mindful of your time. So I just want to ask this one last question. What has been the most rewarding experience of your career? In other words, what really drives you? Is it mentoring a specific startup? Is it running your own companies? I'm curious to learn more about the meaning that you derive from your work.
Yeah, so as you probably can see, I'm very, very passionate. Some may even say I'm obsessed with mentoring and helping others. I think my credo is the secret to living is giving. So I'm really into giving. I think there aren't many things I do that, you know, provides me with so much joy. I think, you know, the ability to give back and to help others, even to avoid, you know, the pains I've been through, is like, I'm very fortunate to be, you know, in that place. Moreover, when I can even help them succeed and you know, provide them with the things I didn't have as, you know, first-timer entrepreneur, I think there are two ways to learn things, right? So one is trial and error. You can do, you can build, you can get knocks here and there. Try to, you know, to correct what to do for 5 years, and then maybe you'll succeed or maybe not. The other way is, you know, learn from someone who's, you know, walked that path already. He was in your shoes. He knows how to build whatever you are trying to build. See what was, you know, working for him and what didn't work for him, and do the same. So I always recommend startups, like when they do something for the first time, take yourself like a close mentor or an advisor that will be your guide for all things startups, all the things that you are dealing with for the first time, because it can save you so much time and money and frustration and pains. So it's so easy, and there are so many people who can help you. You just have to be, you know, minded to the fact that you don't know everything and that you want to listen. And I think that you know, there are many things drives me, and you know, make me passionate about building stuff. I think giving back is one of them, but I think that also, if I look back at you know, one point in my career is selling my previous company after a very, very unique, I would say, last year we had. So we had in 1 year, 4 M&A deals, one that fell in the very, very last minute after, like, you know, more than 3 months of due diligence. It was 2 weeks from closing, from like a real change for everyone's life. And you know, from bottom up to rock bottom in 2 weeks, and we almost had to close the company. We had no more money. We stopped all the fundraising processes we had because of this deal. And eventually I decided not, to close or to fight back and invested my own money and my partner's money in order to keep everyone. It was super risky. It was like, you know, against all odds, but eventually we managed to sell the company. And I think that, you know, this determination, I would say, and understanding that we have something very good, and because of, you know, timing and one company that did what they do, it's not, you know, the right reason to close company. So I have, you know, a keynote only about that last year of an hour, and it's super interesting. But you know, in a nutshell, I think that this point in my career, I would say that it's something that I'm very proud of. And I'm very happy, you know, it happened. Also the bad things, but I've learned so much, you know, from this experience. And it's something I also, you know, teach others when they are in such a, you know, situations.
Wow. Yoav, thank you so much for offering us a glimpse into your knowledge and your mind. I have personally learned a lot, and you've given me some homework to think about and kind of question the way that I look at startups and entrepreneurs. And I know you have to our audience as well. So Yoav, thank you so much for your time. Like I said, I wish we could continue to pick your brain and hear your stories, but you're a very busy man and you need to get back to your 400 babies or your 400 startups. So Yoav, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for your participation in the Startup Nation Network.
Thank you. My pleasure.